Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
Excellent. So welcome to the show. Today's Monday. This is going out on Mintwave radio station, Ask Alexa, or go to the website /mintwave-radio to listen live or to see the schedule for what's on for the rest of the week. If this is via podcast. So again, the website, KarenRobertsCoaching.com /podcast network to see ours, A Coffee with Karen, and any other podcasts that are in our network. You can download the app for Apple and Android. Please subscribe to any podcast that take your fancy, follow any of them, and feel free to leave a comment. So today's episode is episode 127, and today we have Rupa Patil, and she is a business mentor and trainer in India. And we'll be talking about entrepreneurship and heart-centered businesses. Oh, it's what I love. So I'm your host, Karen Roberts. We own Mintwave Radio Station and Raising Vibrations Podcast Network. We provide a platform for coaches, consultants, therapists and healers to get their message heard to the people who need it. So welcome to the show, first of all, Rupa.
Hey, Karen, what an honor and privilege it is to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolute pleasure. Now, Rupa is on a mission to support at least 10,000 heart-centered entrepreneurs to help them grow their income and impact. She's a certified mastermind professional, international business mentor, trainer, author and speaker, and she has helped people from over 17 countries so far, but she believes she's only got started. So, wow, what a resume. If you could like to share with the audience then, first of all, a little bit about your story. How did you come to be doing what you're doing now?
Thank you for asking, Karen. Heart-centered leadership, how did I come especially to that? Well, that is quite straightforward, and I keep talking about it because almost 12 years ago, when I was transitioning from a full-time corporate employee to starting my own business, I reached out, Karen, not to one, not to two, but 11 different business owners here in my city, requesting them to become my mentor, to guide me, to share a thing or two about businesses before I launch one. And guess, Karen, how many of them agreed to say yes?
Not many, if any.
If any, right? And you nailed it. Not a single person. One person was actually nice enough to come back to me and say, hey, why would I want to help a competitor? I was like, well, because you are the veteran, you're in this industry for almost 12 years and I'm willing to pay you for your time. I said, no, not interested. And that is when I think, you know, that first seed of heart-centered businesses, heart-centered leadership got sowed in my heart. And I kind of decided to myself that I would never, ever reject an aspiring entrepreneur who's coming to me for advice. Whether paid or pro bono, I will never say no. Whatever I could, even if I'm spending 5 minutes with them, I would certainly do that if I can. But I would never, ever reject an aspiring entrepreneur or a business owner to whom I can help. I will help. And that was the initial thought of heart-centered leadership. Little did I know, Karen, that couple of years later, it would be my full-blown mission around why I do what I do. And that is how I got started. And during pandemic, especially when the world was going through all this turmoil and so many offline businesses lost their clients, they lost their livelihood, especially in developing nations like India and Pakistan and Philippines and South Africa. I feel I was blessed to reach out to those businesses and literally help them for free during that time. And it was so heartwarming to see that some of them whom I was able to help them transition from offline to online businesses just by spending 30 minutes with them, they got to find their first paid client. And that was heartwarming. And that
That make you feel?
Blessed. I feel it makes me feel blessed and responsible to do more of that, to pay it forward, do whatever I can to help business owners. For all you know, it would literally mean putting food on their tables. So, yeah, I feel blessed.
It's really fascinating subject. Now, can I ask you a question? The 11 business owners that you went to, were they male or female?
What an interesting question. And this is for the first time I'm thinking they were all men.
I don't know about you, but I feel, and look, I don't come from a corporate establishment at all. Obviously, I have pink braids. so I don't come from that life at all. However, I have been involved in it in some way. I come from the fitness industry, a quarter of a century. So working in the city of London, so being in the changing areas where corporate workers were and hearing the conversations, and it always seemed to me very backstabby, very aggressive form of, because it felt like everyone was being kept down because this fear scarcity mindset that we don't want to help these people below because they might take my job. And rightly or wrongly, because I don't know, I don't come from that arena, that whole mentality seems to have found its way into this arena. And I love what you're saying there, because we feel the same, that, man, there is no competition. There is no competition. When you're truly heart-centered and you're following, you know, there's only one you. There's only one Rupa Patil who... Oh, there might be somebody with the same name, but there's only one you that does what you do in your specific way. And it seems a shame that this has been sort of moved into this kind of arena. Have you seen that sort of that follow?
Absolutely. And although you are not from corporate environment, you have read it quite right. And you're right. It has got nothing to do with a specific geography. It's kind of global. Of course, I'm hoping, and I really, really hope that things are changing as we go. Because I have worked in corporate for 15 years of my life, and I have been honored and privileged to work with some of the biggest brand names. But again, even in best of the companies, you know, the heart-centered leaders, business leaders or corporate leaders were only a few. You could count them on your fingers. And most of them, barring these few people, and I was really honored to have my first corporate mentor, who was also my boss, who was really empowering. He did not come from a scarcity mindset, but my previous boss did. So for me, I have seen bosses who have been driven by the scarcity mentality. There is not enough for everyone, and I can't hire somebody who's smarter than me, to a person who actually encouraged me to go ahead and be brave enough to hire somebody who's smarter than me. That way, even as a manager, I push myself up and I push the standards. I literally elevate the standard of the team by hiring somebody who is more smarter than me. And as a result, this was the best decisions. But again, these were outliers. And that is when I realized, oh my God, if this is what is happening in best of the corporate, where your job is secured, where you're getting best of the salary, and you are hiring people from creme de la creme, you know, people from the best institutes. And still what is driving you is this insecurity. It is a sad story. So no wonder it kind of rolls over to businesses. where now people are leaving their corporate lives, leaving their comfort zones behind, and starting an establishment. And what do they carry from there? That scarcity mentality.
That it's a shame.
It's a shame.
Where does it come from? Where do you think this comes from?
In the corporate, I feel it certainly comes from, although we call it as the comfort zone, we all know that, you know, jobs and people in corporate, they are, even in businesses, we are always surrounded by threat in one way or the other. Anybody, you know, somebody smarter can replace me. AI can replace me. Look at all the hue and cry that is happening around ChatGPT right now. AI
can replace me. Amazing.
Yeah. So I think this is the fear. But again, Karen, it is, as human being, I am going to have all these emotions. But the emotion to which I'm going to feed the most, that emotion is going to grow. If I'm going to feed my fear is going to grow. And probably it will grow enough to consume me and consume the really good part of me. So that is my take on it. What do you think?
Well, I totally agree. I mean, I love the idea that, you know, you're hiring people better than you. All this, I know it all. None of us know it all. We all have our skills. We all have our talents. We all have our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And so to have that mindset of, yeah, wouldn't it be better? No, I want to hire people that are way more skillful in certain areas so that we can all grow, because then it's a combination of talents. So I can imagine why you've grown so quickly, because I do feel that I think more people are realizing that you've got to go within, and running your business from a heart-centered place is going to have a knock-on effect to absolutely everybody and grow your business a lot quicker.
Exactly. So, and as you beautifully said, it's not about collaboration. Again, you can either, I can focus on competition, or I can focus on collaboration. And now, of course, I'm sure you would have seen it even in your previous guests. There's so many of us, especially. And now I see the trend is more, not now, I see the trend in women entrepreneurs. They are a little more open to the idea of collaboration over competition. Again, it's not a gender thing, but I think it's a choice. So the moment I focus more on collaboration, now I'm opening up to the thought, instead of asking, oh my God, is she going to be a threat to my business? I have the courage to ask, do we share the same audience? How is that I can help? How is that we can help our businesses, each other's businesses?
Each other. It's a far better mindset, isn't it? Yes. it's a lot easier. A lot more relief. So for you now, who are you looking to really, really help?
Mm-hmm. So my heart goes, of course, to the heart-centered entrepreneurs. So when I say heart-centered entrepreneurs, Karen, I actually am very picky about whom I work with. Even for my free programs, like for instance, right now, I am hosting a free workshop. It's free. It is beautiful. It is valuable, but it is 100% free. But I wouldn't let people join just like that. I do have an onboarding call. I just want to make sure that people who have their hearts, not just driven by income, but who are driven by impact. You may be a home business owner. You may be somebody who has just launched your coaching business. But what does your heart truly beat for? We all need money. That's a given. Whether you are in job or whether we are in business, we all need money to pay our bills. But barring that, what else does your heart beat for? So whenever, and it's a surprise, it's such an honor, Karen, that once we start asking this question, even people who otherwise think that, oh, I just have financial goal, when you speak with them, they're so passionate. You know, I was speaking with a lady who is into the sustainable businesses, and I was observing her. When I asked her, why do you do what you do, and what is your business, what is your goal? She just went on and on about how the world really needs to be a little more environment friendly and conscious. And then she said, but you know what? I do have all the business goals, which is around money. I said, hey, you spoke for 5 minutes, 4 minutes, it was all about environment. And that to me tells me that you are, of course, running your business, but you are driven by creating a positive impact. And these are the kind of entrepreneurs I would love to work with. So I especially work with these heart-centered, I love working with women entrepreneurs a lot, but heart-centered business owners. That is what my...
Love that. And it's never about money. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, when people say that, yeah, they always go for the six figures. There's something about that magical six figures or five figure months. There's something about that. But I agree. When you actually find out a little bit more, it's to put their child through uni, or their child wants to go to this one and they can only afford that one. It's always about something outside of them. Beautiful. Or to set up an animal shelter, or actually you find out that their real dream is something completely different, but this might be a way of funding it. And yeah, you're right. I think when people just focus on the money, does it always work? Because it's not necessarily, or they might find success, but is it going to be sustainable? Is it going to be long lasting? Because once the novelty is worn off of making that kind of money, they might get a bit bored. So, yeah, it is. But do you feel that many are still a little bit fearful of going for what it is they truly want? Because, again, we've been brought up to, well, we need to do this because we've got the mortgage to pay, we've got this. So we should. They're always thinking about what they should be doing because they think, they perceive that that's going to bring in the money. How do you encourage people to sort of get into alignment with what it is they really, really want?
What a lovely question. And that is why almost everything that I start, it may be a free program, it may be a high ticket, high level one-on-one program. The beauty is the first few hours or first few sessions, really, even before we could talk about business, yes, we will get there. We do get there. But even before we could talk about anything external, the conversation is always about the big why. And of course, we are in the world where we are gifted to have really amazing leaders like Simon Sinek, who talks about the big why. And there are, and every country has at least one leader who has inspired that region. So in the initial conversation, it is all about that. Why are you doing? And we don't move forward. And most of the people, there's, of course, you know, it's the mind. Mind, as you know, the only one of the biggest functionality of the mind is to protect us, to not let us go out of our comfort zone. So the initial resistance that I get when we talk about this big why, about what is that bigger purpose, the initial resistance that I have experienced when I ask this question to myself, or when I experience it in my clients, it is real. It is absolutely there. Because the conditioning is to, you know, somehow squeeze through that conversation and focus on the here and now, focus on the numbers, focus on something that's more tangible than be in this conversation that is very uncomfortable. And as you have experienced it yourself, Karen, when we talk about the big why, it is not just necessarily the impact that I'm going to cause through my business today. It goes so deeper. It goes so deeper. And it is outrightly vulnerable even to talk about that big why. I resisted it for 6 months. I knew why I'm doing what I'm doing. But it was so scary. And it had got to do with me as a child. It had got to do with my willingness to stop breathing. It was so uncomfortable even to acknowledge that, oh my God, that is the deeper reason why I want to help and empower women so that their next generation do not miss them so that no child ever attempts suicide. Oh my God, I thought I only wanted to help heart-centered entrepreneurs. Yeah, sure, that is what I'm doing. But it has got so many layers and so many levels deeper. And it's a dark place. It's an uncomfortable place. It's a vulnerable place. But the moment I realize what is the true reason, what is the true purpose, I don't need an external motivation anymore.
Ah, love it. Love it. It's all about going within. We all have the answers within us. And isn't it funny that we resist it so much? The natural thing is to resist this going within. But it's worth it in the end.
Oh, totally. It's, as I said, as I say to my client, this process is going to be the most uncomfortable one. You may hate me for doing it, but I promise you, once we are done, once we are beyond this chaos, you would not need to seek external motivation ever. It's good. It's you know, you may still read motivational books, podcasts, go to the webinars, seminars, conferences. We need that. That's a great environment. But you will be driven from inside. You will have a drive, a fire that you'll be fully aware of. That's beautiful. Mm.
Yeah. And people can, because I think without doing that inner work, people can almost get stuck in study mode and sort of addicted almost to going, to getting another book, to getting another course, to getting on another conference, but they're not actually taking action on it. They're not implementing. It's like they'll keep looking because they're looking outside. I need that piece of information before I go. Oh, and I need to learn this, because they're avoiding actually going within. And then, you know, there's always something else to learn, isn't there, Rupa? I mean, it's just ongoing. And it's funny that you mentioned the ChatGPT. I was having a conversation earlier today. And again, fear. I don't necessarily get involved in the conversations because everybody's got very strong opinions and I just think, leave it. But I'm finding it quite fascinating, the huge difference of opinions, but you can see one's from fear, and I get it. If you're a copywriter, say, it must be, oh, my job's going to be taken away from me. However, again, all these things are just tools. They're just tools. Just because you can use an AI bot to write some really good content, if you can't deliver, that's not going to build a business by itself. And I think so many people are looking for it's amazing. We live in a world where we have access to amazing tools and software that can make our lives easier. However, you still need whatever it is you're selling, you're still going to need to actually be involved. And if you can't deliver, it doesn't matter how good the AI bot's going to be, right?
Very true. I love it. And it's the same thing. Like if you talk about money, and earlier you talked about this $1 million or six figure, it's an imprint. Just because some of the marketing gurus kept talking about a six figure, we somehow believe that, oh, I need that six figure. Just because somebody talks about this advertisement budget doesn't mean that your business necessarily need that advertisement budget. Maybe yours is a lifestyle business. Maybe if you talk about me, I love having a beautiful work-life balance in the sense that I can shut my work and go to the Himalayas for 15 days in a row with no internet connection. I would love to do that. And for me, $1 million means nothing.
No, and you wouldn't be able to do it. You wouldn't be able to go for it. I've got no interest for that because I don't want to be working 365 days a year. Again, each to their own. And if that's your, go with it. Go with it. But yes, do you find that, again, I truly believe that actually everybody wants that work-life balance. They may not be implementing the things needed for it because they, again, they think they should be doing X, Y, Z. It's all about the what they should be doing. Yeah. Absolutely crazy. So when you're helping, so how do you, what is your program? How do you specifically help these heart-centered coaches get to where they want to go?
Oh, beautiful. Thanks for asking. So because yours is such a spiritual based show, I would love to say that, you know, for I just have a very simple pyramid. I'll share that to, you know, your audience sometime later. But a very simple pyramid, which starts with three layers of success. One is a personal success, because as you said very beautifully, it all starts with within. The journey starts within. So there is this layer of personal success, which is all about personal development, overcoming adversities. Because Karen, we see that, you know, more often than not, people who are getting into businesses, people who are solving problems, because essentially businesses is that we are solving somebody else's problem. It's coming from the fact that they had faced it in their own life some time ago, and they have figured out ways to overcome that. So in the first baseline of my programs, it is all about working on yourself, overcoming adversities in 6 weeks, preparing yourself to overcome adversities in 6 weeks. That is the base level, which is essentially to do with personal success. Then comes professional success. Only when I'm open, only when I'm not getting stuck with the victim mentality, only when I'm moving from the scarcity to the abundance thought process, is when I can truly work on my business in a heart-centered fashion. And in the professional success, so first is personal success, then comes the professional success. In the professional success, I'm leveraging systems. I help business owners to leverage systems to build their active and their passive income. And passive doesn't necessarily mean crypto or affiliate marketing. It could be your own business. But how can your business function when you are out on a family vacation for 1 month? Where does that money keep coming from? So without working actively on your business, how can you earn? How can you leverage systems and people and processes to earn that income? So that's the second part. And the top part, once, because Maslow's hierarchy. If my cup is full, I can share it with others. So once that personal and professional success fills my cup or starts filling my cup, I can pay it forward. And that is the impact. So it is personal success, it is income, and then it is impact. So that is my pyramid. Awesome. But long story short, within 9 weeks, I help business owners to leverage systems to fill their cup, to pay it forward.
Brilliant. Love that. And Andy, because it's especially the more, so I'll call it woo-woo, you know, the more, I don't know, healer types, they're, don't know about you, but I found there's always some kind of resistance with regarding the money, regarding asking for the sale. Like, you know, very, you know, I use this a lot. They're very good at giving, not so good at receiving. And because there seems to be this sort of block of, I don't know, making money is bad in somehow. And they forget that it's all energy. That's all it is. Money is energy. It's just, it is what it is. It's neutral, right? And so I love what you said there about, you know, at the end of the day, you can't give from an empty cup. So having those structures in place initially, so that once you get there, then you can go. Because, you know, I speak to, I don't know, different therapists and healers that, that it's not about the money. It is about the money, because if you want to start this animal shelter or some kind of thing to help people, it's going to take funding. So if you want to give more, you've got to focus on, it all starts with you. Where do you think again, this thought process is so imprinted in some, and it seems to be a lot of the ones that actually really genuinely want to give, but they're being blocked in some way.
Yeah. And it's so amazing, Karen. You know, earlier when I was growing up, I used to think that this is a very Asian thing. Maybe it's a very Indian thing. It is not. It is not. And I think one of the toughest transitions in my personal life was to go from, oh, money is bad, money is evil. I've gone through that. But that was my toughest transition. To be open and look at money as just another tool. My mobile phone is a tool. Can I use it for scamming someone? Are there people who are doing that? Absolutely. Can I use this for helping someone? Are there people who are doing that? Absolutely. And, you know, at an intellectual level, we all know it, but call it conditioning. Call it your own thought process. That was the toughest transition for me. And it's almost sad and heartbreaking to see that some of the best coaches, some of the best business owners who have been in business for 20 years, until date, they have this resistance and guilt associated with money. And it's not just women. It is both the genders. I have seen that. And yes. As a woman, I distinctly remember this one time, Karen, when I was in this transition phase and I realized, okay, money is important and I don't have financial goals. I need to put that financial goals in place. And that was a time when I started becoming a little more conscious financially. And a very dear friend of mine, he ended up using this word which said, oh, you are always ambitious, but now you have become money-minded. Money-minded? And that hurt me. That hurt me so bad. And it took me close to 1.5 months to get over that thought.
Wow.
Oh my God. So first of all, you can imagine, first of all, you and I, we are going through this inner turmoil. It's a transformation that we are going through. We have enough of self-doubt. We don't need others doubting us. And when that happens, your closest friends, family, relatives, your partners, if they doubt you at the same time, you're going to be so crushed. And then it took me, but the good part is being in that environment of growth. It could be listening to podcasts like this, having mentors, having a mastermind group, consistent growth environment of like-minded individuals, especially the heart-centered mentors with whom you can mastermind, with whom you can brainstorm. If I was not part of that mastermind group, if I was not in that environment of growth, probably I would have stayed crushed and I would have never talked about money and business in the same go because, hey, I don't want to be looked upon as money-minded because I'm not. But who are you? Who is anybody else to question you?
And that comes from, again, their scarcity mindset, their fear mindsets, isn't it? It's quite fascinating that we do quite often take on these things ourselves, and it can affect. I mean, we're human at the end of the day, and as much as we're told, you know, we know we shouldn't allow it, we shouldn't allow them to affect us, but we're, you know, it happens, right? And especially if the closest to us can have more of an effect on us. But yeah, isn't it? I mean, I think everybody goes through it. If they don't, they've been very fortunate to have the right people around them. But yeah, it's a shame that this is sort of looked on. I think it's, you know, there is so much media portrayal of, you know, if you have money, they're bad, and they don't. They only see one side, or they only see one person that's either acted in a not so good way, and they've all been tarnished. It is a shame, but I do still feel that's what's holding some people back. So they're having this internal battle because, but again, I just say to people, just flip it in your head. At the end of the day, you're only going to be paid in relation to how many people you're helping. Exactly. So actually turning it around and saying, well, I want to help more people. Like, your specific goal is to help 10,000 women. Does that mean you shouldn't be paid? You shouldn't be reimbursed for helping them? I mean, it's a win-win, isn't it? So the more people you help, the more people you're going to, and it's just this different attitude, which is the opposite to the corporate pyramid. Right, which is why I've never really understood, not that I'm really involved in any network marketing things, but I always understood the philosophy and always used to see it as a positive one. And I could never wrap my head around why people think it's negative and call it a pyramid. Because I think, but business is a pyramid. What are you talking about, I come from the fitness industry. The cleaners do not get as paid as much as the gym manager. I mean, that's the workplace. Whereas you can all be the top of your own pyramid with some kind of network marketing.
Very true.
And I suppose those are some other options, not the only thing, but to have some kind of passive income. Because at the end of the day, how many jobs are out there that really pay enough for people to be well off into retirement without some form of investment?
Very true. Lovely question.
it's just very rarely going to happen, is it? That's why most people are so stuck, because in this day and age where we're at right now, it's almost like essential, really, to have something going on, having something for yourself and finding a way to not just have that one thing, but have some kind of passive income coming in, because we live in a very different world, don't we, Rupa?
Very true. And how beautifully, I would like to second what you said. So those of your amazing listeners who have dialed in, I would really encourage them to question. One is question the modeling or the thought process that we are grown with, the conditioning. Be brave enough to question that conditioning, one. Second is, and you would have seen it in your place as well, in your country, the youngsters, there are two types of them. And again, when I say youngsters, I would say people who are young. I was young, you were young, they're youngsters. And I started working right after my grade 10. I started working because I felt bad that I come from this large family. There are five siblings. My mom is working hard, my dad is working hard. And I felt that it is unfair, and I was just 16, but I felt it is unfair for a family of five kids and two parents. It is unfair for the parents alone to think about the family. And I started working right after my grade 10, and I have never stopped. I don't want to stop. And people would ask, okay, grade 10, what kind of job can you get? Oh, well, I have done everything that I could physically do. I have waited tables, I have sold books, I have gone door to door, I have worked in Archie's Gallery, I have worked in restaurant, I have cleaned tables, I've sold American Express credit cards, I've done whatever it takes to self-sponsor my education, I have done network marketing early on in my life, and I'm glad I did that because I picked up some of these positive attitude learnings. Mm. And this collaborative, supportive environment right then, early in my age. And if you read this amazing book, I don't have it handy with me, but there is this beautiful book by Robert Kiyosaki, which says, a business school for people who love helping other people. And it's all about network marketing. I'm not in network marketing anymore. But those, especially during pandemic, if you have lost job, if anybody has lost job, if you're in between jobs, if your business is not working well, do not let your little voice tell you that, oh, network marketing is not for me. No, that is just the conditioning. That is just the last person who talked about networking talked like that. It is not your thought. Give it a go. Check it out. Business, give it a go. Check it out. So I'm sorry. I just...
No, I love this. And actually, that's made me realize that actually, yes, I would not have been introduced to the self-development arena if it wasn't through a network marketing company. I mean, you know, truth be said, I wasn't very good at it back then, but I learned so much from it. And I did hit my goals that I set back then because they didn't actually have anything to do with the network marketing company, but which I'm sure my upline were hoping. but I have, you know, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't, you know, never looked at the self-development arena up till then. You know, I've just come from school and they certainly didn't talk about, you know, how your thoughts are cause feelings and how this, you know, you didn't learn about the mind. No. So yeah, I have a lot to be grateful for actually from that yeah. arena. And it's just an, you know, we've got to look up what, you know, it's not for everyone, which is fine. Again, it's finding what resonates with you, what products, what services, who do you want to serve, so that you can make an informed decision as to what is the best thing. So to the listeners, so if they can't see your details or website, how would they get in contact with you if they would like to know more?
Fantastic. Thanks for asking. It is the best way to reach out to me is go to my website, which is my first name, lastname.com. That is Rupa Patil, RupaPatil.com. And all my details are right there. But one of the best ways to stay in touch with me is by allowing me to pamper you with all the gifts, all the information that I can. So from time to time, I do this free programs which get announced right inside my Facebook group, which is by the name Transformational Heart Leaders. So these are two important avenues to reach out to me, rupapatil.com, and my Facebook group by the name Transformational Heart Leaders.
Awesome. Thank you. So with regards to your whole program, so you have this, so it's 6 weeks focused on them. So that's more self-development, is that?
Which is correct, yes.
And then focusing on the business and then how to make an impact. And with regards to, and I know obviously you're in, and this is just goes to show. So just because you're in one country doesn't mean you can't affect everybody. So I think you already said that you've helped people in 17 different countries already. So it is global. So it doesn't matter where you are in the world. And what is, so your personal goal is to help 10,000 people. Is that women? Is that just women? Or do you focus on everybody?
Everyone. I do help heart-centered entrepreneurs, especially women. I love working with women, but I do have a lot of men who work with me.
Okay, fantastic. So, and when are you hoping to achieve this goal?
I would want to achieve this in this lifetime, but you know what, Karen? What I have shared with you is just half of the goal. It is the half of the goal which I make public. But to you and to your listeners, I would love to share.
Oh, tell me more. Yes, please.
Thank you. So my intention is to directly help those 10,000 heart-centered entrepreneurs, but to inspire each of these 10,000 to go ahead and help and find and help another 10,000 members. If somebody, like for example, one of my mentees is a fitness coach, I really want her to have a goal of helping or impacting 10,000 women because she works with women. So this is 10,000 into 10,000. So we are really talking about 100 million people. That goal I'm going to achieve in this lifetime. And that's cool. But I'll die peacefully knowing that I am on the path of achieving that goal within this form or in other form.
Ah, I love that. And why do you think people are almost afraid to even put out these big goals? I mean, it's you know, there are two ways of looking at it, aren't there? I mean, some people will argue, you know, set a smaller goal that's achievable. And I can sort of understand the philosophy because there's going to be less resistance in the mind, which means they're more likely to. However, having that big goal is going to stretch that belief system as well. So that I always see it, I can sort of understand why not setting a big goal if you're not in alignment, that you're not going to achieve it. Because, you know, we can all have this, depending on how, you know, where you've been. If you've only ever made 20K a year, 30K, 50K, even reaching for 100K, you're more than likely going to have that little negative self-talk saying, who do you think you are? You've only ever done this. It, like you said right at the beginning, your mind wants to keep you safe. So, but it still seems opposite to me why you'd then reduce the goal down to fit into your current belief structure rather than, no, put it out there, that big goal, and stretch that belief. Keep finding a way to actually be comfortable. And, you know, good for you for even announcing that, because some people, even if they had that big goal, they would feel uncomfortable to actually put it out there.
Yes, absolutely, Karen. And I was one among them, and I did second guess myself. In fact, 10,000 people, my mind was working. My mind asked the same question. Karen, Rupa, who do you think you are? You are Miss Nobody. So I did go through that initial resistance. And as if that was not enough, I had some other gentlemen coming to me and saying, oh, you know what? I could have given you a 5-star rating, but I'm going to give you a 4-star rating because I think you're just way too ambitious. You know, your goal of touching 10,000 people, it sounds so superficial.
Their problem, not yours. Ah, crazy.
I told myself, you know, in my mind, I spoke to him. I said, hang on, I'm enough to criticize myself. And now there is this other gentleman who is coming and criticizing my goal. But the beauty is almost every single mentor, and I always believe in upskilling. I always invest in best world-class mentors at any given point of time. So the best of the mentors with whom I shared this goal, one of them actually went ahead and told me, you are playing too small. Really? 7 million people, and all you're bothered about is 10,000. That's mean of you. That's selfish of you. And they're like,
let me. So, how did you change? How did you change your own mindset then to actually have the courage to actually step out and announce your bigger goal?
So it was initial resistance. I thought of doing a little testing. I said, I'll go ahead and announce. And the initial part, because at that point of time, I was literally Miss Nobody. Who am I to announce? And when I did that announcement, it was more for me to push myself, saying, no, if that is my goal, now it is my it becomes my responsibility. It's like a public accountability. If I say that I'm going live at, if I'm saying that 12th of February, I'm going to launch a program and it's a public announcement, I have to do it whether or not I'm ready, whether or not I'm feeling fine, whether or not I am self-guessing, I'm still going to do that. So that started as an experiment. And then when I met with this initial resistance, which was only 2 out of 10 times, and the remaining 8 were getting inspired by that goal. Somebody even went ahead and improve their goal. You know, so when I saw, oh my God, just by putting that goal, I have made somebody else rethink about dreaming big, planning big. I think it is worth it. Let me stay with it for 6 months and see what happens. 6 months became an year, and I have never changed that goal after that. So for the last couple of years, that has been my goal. That is my goal. I'm still answerable to my mentor who says 7 billion people and all you're bothered about is 10,000.
But it is. It's good to have a big goal. And I think many people are just still playing a small game. And again, it's so, for instance, like you come from corporate, right? The biggest challenge that I think people face is that, you know, in a corporate environment or in a work for a franchise, they have all the structures in place. They have all the procedures. You go in and you have to read from whatever folder that's about this thick, you know, of their procedures and everything. They have it all in place. And then for some reason, people try and start their own business. And they feel that they have to do it all themselves, which is a challenge. And it's very, very slow growth. Yeah. It's this transitioning from employee to a business owner seems to be the hardest struggle. And knowing when to sort of accept that if you want to have this big business, you can't do everything by yourself. So when is that time to actually step up and play a bigger game and start bringing in other people to help you along the way? Like you say, I mean, collaboration, you know, people need to collaborate more and hire somebody that's better than them in certain things. Like, you know, I mean, I mean, my VA, I'm not really a designer. So having somebody to do the Canva images, and I don't want to be spending my time doing that. I don't have the time to go and do that. So it's, do you feel that some people it's getting to that next stage to go, right, I am going to step forward. I am going to step into my light and I am going to go for it. And I've got to accept that I need help, because there seems to be like a, it's also when you're a one-man band, it's almost like they feel shame or that they failed. Mm-hmm. If they're accepting help, you think no other every other company has done this for them to grow. You can't do it all by yourself. So what would you say to people who sort of, you know, they might even be getting overwhelmed with all the amount of work they do? How do they then step out and go to that next level?
Oh, great question, Karen. You have this treasure of amazing questions, Karen. I love this question. So for those people, especially the solopreneurs we are talking about who have just started, and now there is this question, when do I start hiring or getting people on board? To them, I would say, ask yourself a very important question. What came first? The chicken or the egg? Because I asked this question to myself, because I kept telling when I was, so I run two businesses now. One is a local business, which I formed 10 years ago. And one of the things I kept telling myself is, oh, I will hire someone when my cash flow becomes better. And then I tried doing everything by myself. Oh, I'll hire a mentor once my cash flow becomes better. Oh, I will do this when my cash flow becomes better. But it is just me with my 24 hours time, a family, kid, and then all my mindset, my self-doubts, my sleep, everything. And I have to take all that into consideration. My question is, when will my cash flow go up and when will I hire people? So what came first? Should I hire people to improve my cash flow? Should I improve my cash flow to hire people? So it's always that trade-off. And the sweet spot is when we ask ourselves that question, what is your time value? Think, and it's easier when you are into a services business. It's so much easier. if I, as a mentor, if my 1 hour of time is worth $5,000, am I better off doing what I love doing? I really love doing it. Am I better doing that? Or am I better off learning how to do video editing and then doing it in an average manner? Should I do it in an average manner or should I hire someone? And the myth about hiring is you don't need to hire people full time. Yes. There are platforms like Fiverr. In India and many countries I know, you can hire interns. They are craving to work with businesses for exchange of a very minimal stipend and a certificate. And my life changed. My first business, my second business, I literally started making more money the moment I got rid of or delegated some of the activities that I don't even love. I don't like doing editing. I'm pathetic at it. Instead, why not hire somebody who loves doing that and who can really do it better than me for an exchange
Absolutely.
Of business? And everything
Absolutely.
Changed.
Absolutely.
So my question to solopreneurs is, what is more important? If you have too much of time, yes, invest that time. But the moment you start seeing that results, the moment you start noticing that you started getting clients, be brave enough to invest in yourself, hire mentors, be brave enough to invest in an intern, in a VA, in a collaboration partner. Be brave enough to hire freelancers.
Yes.
You don't have to hire them, as in hire. Put it on your rolls. No, it's easy.
There you go.
More easy.
It's easy in this day and age. It's easier in this day and age, isn't it? Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. A lot of value there. I'm sure the listeners got a lot of value there as well. So if you're listening, please get in touch, rupapatil.com. And for everybody else, we will be back again just tomorrow, actually, with a coffee with Karen. So bye for now.
Karen, thank you so much for inviting me, for asking those lovely questions. And thank you for doing what you're doing. Lots of love to you and to your listeners.
Thank you. Bye.
Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.